Why his heartfelt desire was to encourage them with words, but as well to direct them in dealing with situations, as we learned about the two women. This book seems small, but it is packed full of many truths. A little story to start us off. Not sure if you guys have heard of David Platt. If you have, good. If you haven't, I'm going to tell you a little piece about him from his book. He wrote a book called Something Needs to Change. If you have an opportunity to read it, it's not a big book. If you have Audible, please listen to it. I read this book a few years back, and it made me think about what I should be doing, or if I'm doing what I should be doing. He was going to be hiking through the Himalayas, and in order to hike in the terrain and the heights that he was going to, he needed to get in shape. This is why it made me think about myself. I needed to get in shape. He was told, no, I'm kidding. He was told to wear a mask or breathe through a straw while working out. The mask thing, I thought, okay, well, that wouldn't be so bad. But the straw part, I was a little shocked. I don't know if you guys have ever gone snorkeling or put a snorkel on and gone under the water. And to breathe through the snorkel, you kind of have to relax yourself a bit to get your mind wrapped around that you're breathing through a little tube. And I can't imagine jogging and running and working out or using my arms, whatever it is, and breathing through a straw. Anyways, this was some of the advice that he was given. He didn't take it. He didn't take the advice in that part. He did get in shape physically to go on this trek that he was believing that the Lord wanted him to go on. And in the story, you can see that it totally was the Lord that took him on this journey. Maybe some of you are awesome and could breathe through a straw, I don't know, and work out and run. But I cannot. But the reason was is that he needed to get in shape in that way so that he could make it through the mountains where the air was less. And at one point in his walk, when they were going to be gathering together with some other believers up on the mountains, he could only walk 20 steps before he could take a breath. And he's already been on his truck here a bit. He's been journeying quite a ways. And at the heights and altitude they were at, he could only go 20 steps before he had to take a few moments to get his breath and get himself under control before he could keep going. And they had to go 2 hours or something, I think it was roughly about, to get to their destination in the midst of this. So it would have been a slow walk. But in that too, he says, he saw the beauty that was around him as he stopped and looked around. But they were going to gather with some other brothers and sisters at a congregation. Beloved, one of my points. Do you ever stop after reading the Word of God and think, oh my God, that was so good? I am sure you have eaten food and think, that was amazing. I would love to have another bite. I know with our hustle and bustle of life, we at times may eat food in such a rush, it is not but just to get it done or to move on to the next thing. We might enjoy it though still, just the same excitement may not be there. Sometimes this happens and it is not altogether bad. Sometimes we read the Bible fast, and God just wants us to understand a little of the overarching purpose of that text. Not understanding every little meaning, just an overview. A question. Has anyone ever felt deep compassion or empathy for another person who is working alongside you in ministry? Have any of you ever voiced such love and affection as Paul has towards the Philippians? Voicing affection for brothers and sisters who need affirmation in wording to be reminded of how they can face any situation. When we voice affectionate words, it gives people strength. There is a place of that. It encourages them so that no matter what's going on in life, because we don't know what's going on in each and every one of everybody's lives, but when we encourage others in the word, we can help them to endure through those situations. Amen. Last week I had stated that Paul gave affirmation for his love in 4:1. I'm going to read it with you guys. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Before giving this exhortation and dealing with two women that needed to come together to have one mind, if we cannot work together, we cannot grow together. In other words, we grow apart. As a husband and wife must work together, listening to each other and hearing each other's concerns, I do not believe we need to elaborate on every frustration or concern we have in our marriages and in the church. Even though we may want to voice them. But if we are not watchful, these little frustrations towards one another can give an opportunity for the devil to deceive us with his lies. I would like to read to you Ephesians 4, 23 to 27, if you guys would flip there too. Just back one book. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief verse 27. Stop. Yep. I'm going to read the last verse again. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let's elaborate a little more on Paul's affirmation of his love and affection. Sometimes when difficulties come our way, it can be very difficult to stand fast. Paul knows the Philippians are not exempt to difficulties or attacks that that enemy Satan may bring. This is why Paul says to stand firm in the Lord, along with Philippians 1:27 that says that you are standing firm in one spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 16:13 as well, it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And Paul is no dummy when it comes to keeping with joy through trials and tribulation. So as Philippi grows in the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, they must stand in righteousness. Must stand in the Lord. They will face ups and downs as they walk this faith journey. But if their minds are set on earthly things and not instead on living for others, Satan gets an opportunity. Paul yearns for his beloved. Paul lets the Philippian believers know right from the start of his yearnings in Philippians 1:8. He says, for God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now we have the household of brothers and sisters. We are the household of brothers and sisters. We must not forget that we are the brethren of the household of God. We are born again, partakers in the grace of Christ. We matter. We are important. Do you all remember the time Paul received his conversion in Acts 9 and fell to the ground and lost his sight? And then being led to Damascus, stays 3 days, and then he is Then he is visited by Ananias to receive his sight. Do you remember this? Paul was called Brother Saul as Ananias laid his hands upon him to regain his sight and receive the Holy Spirit. And that is from Acts 9:17. Well, let's take note that he was called brother. He was now a part of the family of God. We too are a part of the family of God when our eyes are opened and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Paul mentions Caesar's household in 4:22 from Philippians, as we've already read many times together, because they too had come to faith and were a part of the household of God. Paul is not the only one that addresses believers as brothers. Peter, in his book, you can see it, and John, in his book, you can see it. You today, who have become servants of Christ, are brothers and sisters in Christ. How wonderful it is that we can address those of the household of God as brothers and sisters. We must stand firm with words of encouragement. Paul is not like a man prompting or pushing a stubborn mule. He is leading through encouragement of what Christ has done for us. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He tells them, you are doing good in the Lord, and it is no trouble on Paul's account to speak highly of the Philippians. So stand firm in your faith. It will drive away the schemes of the devil, the discord between other brothers and sisters. The Philippians are highly esteemed at the start of 3:1 when it says, finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Brothers, finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. They are running the race with endurance, so rejoice. You are brothers and sisters in Christ. You are the beloved. Not only for the Philippians, but this too is for us. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the beloved of God. Problems can be worked out, but when the flesh seeps in, we may think our differences are too big for us to come to an agreement, but with a mind driven by the Spirit that reassures us, we can work through those situations. And our faith proves that everything apart from Christ is loss. This new mind can hold true to what we have attained. So we must hold true to what we have attained in Christ. Say it with me. Hold true to what we have attained. Hold true to what we have attained. We must hold true. Hold fast and hold firm to the upward call, brothers and sisters, to what you have attained in Christ. Let me remind you of Moses in Hebrews 11:26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the upward call. Paul longed for the Philippians. He longed to be with them. Well, he wrote this letter in prison. He didn't have them there with him. But he longed to be with them because he loved them. Because their desire was to do God's will. And they were in one mind together. And he wanted to make sure that they stayed in one mind together. So in the situation that goes on further here in 4, was going on, was happening with Euodia and Syntek, he wanted them to come to one mind because he cared deeply for them. And he wanted them to remember that you can go through situations together, brothers and sisters in Christ, and know that God will take care of you. Amen. He longed to be close to his Philippians. We must invest in one another. Investments matter. What are you invested in? Are you invested in this world's goods or are you invested in people? The stock market and the housing market can rise and fall. We've all seen it. Preston, you guys have seen the rise of the housing go up. But I am here today to tell you that there is a market that produces a reward that has great return, has a great return record. When I say it never fluctuates, it never does. And it holds true that it will return. The earthly reward of markets will not last. We all know this. So why not invest in something greater? Matthew 6:19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." I'm sure we've heard that verse more than one time or read it more than one time or know it to heart. Paul invested his whole life in others. He was others-minded. Paul had run his race and the Philippians were his crown. He had labored good and hard and received a reward, and that reward was the Philippians. As a runner runs and receives a wreath, when you look at the Greeks, they'd run and receive a wreath at the end. The Philippians themselves were the reward that he got. But he had invested in something greater, and his treasure was in heaven. Paul's invested time received a treasure in heaven, and no person can steal that from him. And no person can steal it from us when we invest our time in people to bring them to the gospel or to encourage them in the gospel. These children of God were Paul's brothers and sisters, loved ones, longed for, his joy and his crown, and no one was going to take it away from him because he put his trust in the Lord and his hope was in God, and his righteousness was through the blood of Christ. I'm going to stop there and leave it to the worship team, the ones with music who can sing really good, to come up again and lead us.
Let's stand together.
May it become what may.
as we leave here, the benediction from Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with his great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.